it's beginning to look a lot like transfer portal season, coaching carousel season. There's a lot of movement that's going to happen, not necessarily with Tennessee. It'll be some movement there, of course, there always is. But with college football, it's that phase of the offseason, the very beginning of the offseason. We've got your questions, all that for a mailbag show right here on a Tuesday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, welcome into it. This is your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad that you guys have elected to hang out with me here today. And this episode is brought to you in part by Omaha Steaks today. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. You can order the complete confidence knowing that you're going to be ordering the very best. You can visit that at omahasteaks.com. Use that promo code Locked On, check out, and get an extra $30 off your order again at Omaha Steaks. More on Omaha Steaks later in the show and my personal experience with Omaha Steaks. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. All right. So Tuesday show, mailbag show. It's whenever your voice is heard and whenever you guys take over the show. So really, really looking forward to getting into all of your Twitter Tuesday questions right here on Locked On Vols. Appreciate that support and consistency each and every week. It does mean an awful lot. Before we get going, though, Alex Golish, Tennessee offensive coordinator, has been named a finalist, one of five finalists for the Broyles Award, and that is given out to the nation's top assistant coach. No surprise. Tennessee's offensive coordinator is in the conversation after Tennessee finished number one in total offense in the nation, number one in scoring offense in the nation. I'm not saying Alex Golish will leave Tennessee this offseason, but buckle up because his name will be mentioned in a number of coaching candidates at the Group of Five level. He has experience in the MAC, dating. I always want to say MAC conference, but that would not make sense because the C in MAC stands for conference. But he has experience in the MAC in his past as well. So Alex Golish's name will come up in a bevy of coaching conversations this offseason. Already saw The Athletic pointing out that he'd be a good fit at Cincinnati because Luke Fickell left to take over Wisconsin. So anyway, congratulations to Alex Golish. That is well-deserved. But buckle up because his name is going to be mentioned everywhere. We'll have to see if he does want to stay. He likes it here in Tennessee. We'll see if the right opportunity causes him to move on this offseason. All right, plenty of Twitter Tuesday questions as we listen to Locked On Vols here. It's your team every single day. Let's go ahead and dive right down into it. We will start off with James. When do you think the most, or what do you think the most likely hold you? Okay, let me try this again. What do you think would most likely hold you? I got to get some glasses, guys. UT back next season from reaching and surpassing the level of success from this season. My gut reaction is to say quarterback play, but I think even a C-plus Milton will be less damaging than the secondary. O-line and D-line both concern me too, depending on who comes back. First and foremost, always start the conversation off with a quarterback. Now, are you going to get Hendon Hooker elite level play at the quarterback position every single year? Absolutely not. But you saw what a quarterback does to the accelerated growth of a rebuild of a program, right? The reason Tennessee is at 10 wins in year two with Josh Heupel, primarily, again, give Heupel all the credit, but you had a quarterback. It makes everything a little bit easier. So quarterback number one, you've got to get good play. Then have to be great and elite and exceptional play. You've got to get good play from Joe Milton next year. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you're right. If you want to take a step defensively, you've got to get more athletic in the secondary. I thought we saw a preview of that with Wesley Walker playing at safety against Vanderbilt. That's just one example. You've got to get more athletic in the back end. And you need to rush the passer consistently with four guys. Byron Young, in my opinion, didn't have the best year, right? He flashed a couple of times, but he didn't have the best year. So all those would likely be concerning as well. Plus, what about Darnell Wright? Is he going to leave over the offensive line? You also have Jerome Carbon, who is set to leave on the offensive line as well. Let's go to Cole, and I think CeeLo's also let's go to Jimmy first. Jimmy, the defense is clearly an issue if we want to be national champions. Is Tim Banks capable of producing an elite defense over the next few years to match the offense, or do we need to get out there and buy the best DC possible? Yeah, again, here, I understand the frustration with Tennessee's defense. I understand the frustration with Tennessee's defensive backs. I get it. I am not sitting here saying and trying to stick up and say that it's been good enough. It hasn't been good enough. I think that there's been some strides in certain areas, but it's not been good enough. My style is not to advocate for someone to lose their job. That's just not what I'm going to do. And I know you're not saying that right here, Jimmy. I get it. But, you know, if there is a change, you know, DC, OC, quarterbacks coach, whatever, any spot on staff, if there's ever going to be a change, then we will break down who the best candidates available for that job will be. But I will say this, being a defensive coordinator, trying to complement this style of offense is not appealing. You're going to have to pay big bucks. You really will. It is not appealing. Your defense is out there playing on average about 15 more snaps per game than a normal defense. They're tired. It's really difficult. So, sure, are there better options to be defensive coordinator out there? Sure, there's more proven. There's better coaches out there than Tim Banks. I'm not saying he's the best coach out there, but if there's a change, it's difficult to find a high-caliber guy to come in and complement this offense. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. Let's now go to Trevor. Trevor says, I'm wondering if USC and TCU both lose this week, if the committee puts Ohio State and Alabama, leading to us making the Sugar Bowl. If the committee ever puts a two-loss team in the four-team playoff, I feel like it would be this Alabama team, but who knows? Yeah, good point. It could be this Alabama team, or it could be a two-loss SEC champion. Now, LSU just lost again, so but prior to the losses last weekend for LSU, if it ran the table and if it beat Georgia, LSU would be a prime candidate. Remember, I mentioned Auburn back in 2017. Nothing's a given, but that would be the case. Now, yeah, I mean, Ohio State, they want Ohio State in so bad. It's a brand. It's got C.J. Stroud. It's got Marvin Harrison Jr. You want Ohio State in there if you're the committee. So any excuse to put Ohio State in there for sure. It'd be tough to put Alabama in there, but Alabama will always get the benefit of the doubt. We'll talk more on this later in the show, but Alabama will always get the benefit of the doubt because it is Alabama. You do have Nick Saban. What they've done the last 15 years shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter, but it does. This is a playoff committee filled with human beings, not computers. There is criteria there, but it is, again, it is a committee full of human beings to where the human element will come into play. So we'll see. I mean, if that happens, if USC lost and TCU lost, if TCU lost, it's out. If USC lost, it's likely out as well because that's two losses. So Ohio State would definitely be in there. And then, yeah, maybe Alabama. I don't know. We'll just have to see. I feel like TCU would be out, but maybe there's a case to keep TCU in there. It's a one-loss program. So we will see. Let's go next to Tony. Tony says, how do the polls logically justify having Alabama above Tennessee? What are your thoughts on that ranking? Yeah, again, I didn't spend much time on this on Monday's show, and regrettably, I should have because I do have strong feelings on that. I just assume when the college football playoff rankings come out tonight that Alabama will be ranked ahead of Tennessee. Ohio State will be fifth, Alabama will be sixth, Tennessee will be seventh. That is just my line of thinking. Now, if you look at the criteria on what is voted on, head-to-head, strength of schedule, top 25 wins, advantages Tennessee the whole way through. Plus, Tennessee beat Alabama. At some point, head-to-head's got to matter. I don't care if it was the last-second field goal. You won head-to-head. That's got to matter for something, right? Tennessee should be ranked above Alabama. Thus, Tennessee should be Sugar Bowl bound. I don't think that'll happen. I just don't. So what I think about that, it's crap. In terms of the AP and the coaches are one thing. Not many coaches vote on that. It's more SIDs. I got to be honest with you guys, and I'm not trying to you know, talk ish about anybody, but I mean, the AP poll is a joke, in my opinion. There are so many, I know of so many voters that don't watch college football. If you cover a football team, you should not be an AP voter. I mean that. Yeah, and that might sound strange, but I mean, guys, I don't get to watch much NFL football on Sundays. I've got it on, but I'm not watching. I'm working my tail off doing, you know, 20 other things to recap the game from the night before. Throughout the week, I'm going to press conferences. You know, on Saturdays, I'm traveling or I'm getting to the field 3 hours early and staying at the stadium 4 hours after the game, working on the team that I cover. If you are a beat member covering a football team, you should not get a vote. I'm not convinced that a lot of people that have a vote for the AP actually watch college football like they should. I'll get off my soapbox now. All right, let's get a couple more here before we take a reset. Let's go to Chuck. What recruits will possibly get in to participate in bowl practices, and which recruits are early enrollees? I don't have the answer to those right now. Bowl practices are always kind of, I don't know, it's weird. I've heard Nico will come in and get a couple of bowl practices. I don't know how many they're allowed. Last year, Justin Williams Thomas, Tyree West, Jordan Phillips. I think those were the three that came in last year and got some work in. I don't know. I heard Nico potentially is a guy that's going to come in and get some reps during bowl practices. As far as early enrollees, I'll get a better feel for that closer we get. But Nico will be here. David Hobbs, who just committed to Tennessee, he will be here. The majority of the class that signs will be here. Okay, it's kind of a it's not a requirement per se, but it's almost an expectation now that you're going to come in, you're going to start your college career a semester early, go through spring practice, get adapted to that college lifestyle before, you know, all of it just kind of hits you all at once there in the fall. Okay. So we'll see. I'll have a list on that. I'll check into that, but the majority of the committed class will be here in January. I can tell you that right now. All right. We will get to a couple more. We'll get to two segments worth more of your Twitter Tuesday question. That is coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. Hey, I want to tell you guys about a proud sponsor of this show, and that is Omaha Steaks. The holidays are here, achieving greatness when you give the gift of perfectly aged, tender, and delicious Omaha Steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special gift packages to help you to take the guesswork out of giving and make the holiday a hero. Go to omahasteaks.com, use that promo code LOCKEDON, and get that's at checkout. And you're going to get 30% off your order. Just kidding. It's $30 off your order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout, and you're going to get $30 off your order. Send an assortment of mouthwatering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the legendary Butcher's cut filet mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken, ultra-juicy burgers, and even easy-to-prepare comfort meals that are ready in a flash. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your way right away. So shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON. Guys, I handed out Omaha Steaks. I did this for my Christmas gifts last year. You guys know me. You know my schedule. Number one, I'm a guy. Okay, I don't put thought into anything. Number two, I'm busy. Omaha Steaks made it so easy for me. I did it for my dad. I did it for my soon-to-be father-in-law. I did it for my soon-to-be stepfather-in-law-ish, however you want to call it, whatever the case is. They all loved it, and we all spent so many times over the course of last year spending time fellowship, eating steaks, burgers, and hanging out with friends and family, and that was my Christmas gift. It was easy, and Omaha Steaks did all the work for me. So it's a gift from the heart. I say all that. It's a gift from the heart, all right? It's a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. To order the completes, order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required upon purchasing. Welcome back to your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm your host, Harry Kane. This is a mailbag edition of the show, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Let's get back into it. Twitter Tuesday, every single Tuesday right here on the show. Ross, he checks in. He says, looking at the current college football playoff rankings based on the games played this weekend and what could happen next weekend, it looks like there's a chance Bama makes it into the college football playoff. What are your thoughts? Again, we kind of touched on this a moment ago. I think Bama's resume is trash. What's Bama's best win? It was on the road against a Texas team where Quinn Ewers didn't play much. Now, again, the same argument I made when everybody's talking about Tennessee and Pittsburgh earlier in the year. That was the same week, by the way, because I watched some of that game on my way to the stadium formerly known as Heinz Field. Tennessee knocked out Keaton Slovis in that football game. Alabama knocked out Quinn Ewers in that football game. So, I mean, it still counts, right? But that's their best win, and then maybe Ole Miss. They lost to Tennessee, lost to LSU. They don't have as many top 25 wins in comparison to a team like Tennessee. The strength of schedule is good. I just don't think the resume is very good. So potentially, I think all craziness would have to kind of be stowed upon this weekend coming up. Again, like we talked about, I think TCU would have to lose. I think Southern Cal would have to lose. The first team that loses is sliding back and Ohio State's jumping in. If TCU loses, Ohio State's jumping them, right? If Southern Cal loses, potentially can no, that's it's already got one loss that's out. So for both of those teams to lose, Ohio State goes in and then Alabama potentially. But hey, if Tennessee does finish ahead of Alabama tonight in the college football playoff rankings, Tennessee's in that position too. But I just, again, I don't think that's going to happen, right? I think Georgia will handle business. I think Michigan will handle business. I think Southern Cal will handle business. And I think TCU will handle business. But again, there is a chance. I just don't think that it's a very high chance. Let's go to Darius. Darius says, curious, as I don't fully understand, conference championships, do they play into the college football playoff? Not saying it will happen, but if two, okay, again, we kind of been discussing this, two out of the four lose, what would the next to slide in, or is it set in stone? If Georgia loses, it's still in. If Michigan loses, it's still in. If TCU loses, it's if USC loses, it's out. If TCU loses, potentially it could still stay in. Ohio State will slide back up in there. Again, conference championships are fine, but it really plays more into like an LSU, like I mentioned earlier, before the loss this past weekend. If LSU would have won and beaten Georgia, a two-loss SEC Power 5 champion, Greg Sankey would not allow them to be left out, right? So it matters, but it doesn't matter a whole lot. A lot of the hay's already in the barn in regards to the college football playoff rankings. Let's go to... let's go to Cole and Silos. This is the one I was talking about earlier. Cole and Silos are kind of wondering about the same thing. This offseason, who is the one position we need to address in the portal? And who is the one transfer you expect to announce entering the portal, surprising everyone? I'm going to limit that to Tennessee because I can't speak for other teams. And it would be irresponsible if I did. As far as what Tennessee needs to do in the portal, Tennessee has got to find at least one tight end. It'd be great if Tennessee could get two tight ends out of the portal. Jacob Warren, don't know about his future. He went through senior day activities. It felt like earlier in the season that he would come back. Not so much anymore. We'll see. Prince of Fans done. You have got to get, I mean, we saw how important this the tight end position is in this offense. You go up tempo. If you haven't heard me say this before, you go up tempo, right? In order to not sub and allow the defense to sub, you've got to have a tight end that is versatile, that can flex out wide, be down on the line, be in the backfield as a running back, be an H-back. The versatility has got to be there for the tight end. And both Jacob Warren and Princeton Fant can do all those things. So it's critical. You need to find two tight ends in the portal, in my opinion. Ethan Davis will come in, but he'll be a true freshman coming off an injury. Let's see here. You'd love to potentially find a pass rusher. You know, a defensive back would be nice, a running back, an offensive tackle. If you can find an offensive tackle, you take one. Running back would also be good. If you find an experienced running back, you take one. But tight end is the number one thing. As far as players for Tennessee, you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's always changing. Guys just right now off the top of my head that, again, I haven't heard anything, but you just kind of assume the talk is there. And based on production in this past year, like a guy like Jimmy Holiday would likely look for a new opportunity. Jimmy Callaway would likely look for a new opportunity. Those are two that come off the top of my head. But again, you know, we'll see exactly what decides to happen there. Let's go to Allen. Regarding Joe Milton's Saturday performance, seems like no one is giving him a break regarding accuracy. Yet the field was wet and got wetter as the game progressed. In practice, he is throwing to full-speed receivers. Isn't the track to blame for much of the issue? It wasn't great. Wasn't great at all. But I think if we didn't see Joe Milton for six quarters a season ago overthrow so many guys, it wouldn't be that big of a talking point, right? He struggles for some reason consistently with the deep ball. And coming in mop-up duty, he was hitting on all cylinders pretty much the entire year. It looked good in limited opportunities. And he hit his first one on Saturday too. Now, again, Romel Keaton dropped one. Squirrel White was held at the line of scrimmage. It's not always all on the quarterback. But there's no excuse for missing Squirrel White so bad in the end zone, for missing Princeton Fan over the middle of the field the way you did there. It's just something he's got to work on. It really is. But to answer your question, the surface, the conditions, they didn't help an awful lot. It really didn't. And the most important thing is he controlled the game and didn't turn over the football. So I think that's important to remember. Let's go to AJ. How many dump trucks of money is it going to take to bring in an assistant coach that can teach Milton some touch on the football? There you go. We're just talking about that because it would be worth it. He has everything else. I can't wait to see him run over outside linebackers at the goal line, just like Derrick Henry. Yeah, dude, he's a massive human being. He's an athlete. He ran the offense just fine. It didn't lose any tempo. He just got to develop some touch. I'll say this. If anybody can teach touch with Joe Milton, I'll take my chances with Josh Heupel and Joey Halsey, because you know what they've done with quarterbacks and their track record, I'll take my chances. But he certainly does need to develop some touch and develop it in a hurry. Let's go to Kurt. Could you go into more detail about why the Orange Bowl is precedent over the Cotton Bowl? Aren't both bowl games going to get Tennessee the same amount of money and benefits? I'm not sure I had the answer to that. As far as incentives for coaching staff, yes, a New Year's Six bowl game is a New Year's Six bowl game. I understand the opponent part, but nothing wrong with an inferior opponent that we can put a show on a big stage. Yeah, I just think more than anything, again, I hate this word, but I say it all the time, right? You want some juice going into that matchup, right? If you are playing a group of five champions, such as a Tulane or a UCF in the Cotton Bowl, there's just not a whole lot of juice there. It's not fun, right? If you're playing Clemson or North Carolina in the Orange Bowl, that's fun. That's a whole lot of fun. Now, again, depending on where the rankings unfold, Tennessee needs to come in front of Penn State to be insurance, to ensure that they're getting the Cotton Bowl bid, or excuse me, the Orange Bowl bid. If Tennessee comes in front of Alabama tonight in the college football playoff rankings, again, which I don't expect, but they should, Tennessee will go to the Sugar Bowl. I didn't talk about this on Monday because I didn't really think it was that much of a possibility, but you're seeing more and more talking heads, such as Peter Burns at the SEC Network, kind of pointing to that direction and kind of coming back with that. So we will see. I just think it's about the opponent. I think it's about the stage. I think it's something that you want fans to be excited about to travel to and see what happens. And I think the Orange Bowl with the better matchup would be the better case for Tennessee in regards to that at the Cotton Bowl. But in terms of incentives for the coaching staff, a New Year's Six bowl game is a New Year's Six bowl game. Thus, they'll get paid the same. All right. Let's do one more here. Let's go to Michael. Who's the coach we're most likely to lose to another school? Who would be the top candidate to replace him? I kind of mentioned this earlier. It would be Alex Golish. He'll be talked about for plenty of head coaching opportunities this offseason, in my opinion. His name's already been floated out there to replace Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. So he's the one you're going to have to pay attention to. If Alex Golish were to leave, it'd be very interesting because I don't think Joey Halsey's ready to step up and be an OC. Glenn Ellerbe is not an OC. Kelsey Pope is a first-year wide receivers coach. You also got to find someone to coach tight ends as well, because Alex Golish is also the tight ends coach. So could you go and get an offensive coordinator like a Jeff Lebby? Whew, that'd be best case scenario, right? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I have to dig in to see who else these guys have worked with in the past. There's not an obvious internal candidate to answer your question. So I think Alex Golish will be number one. You know, Jerry Mack could potentially be a head coach again at a lower level at some point. Defensively, Garner's not going anywhere. And unless there's, you know, changes on the defensive staff, maybe a Brian John Marie would take another opportunity, say it was to be a defensive coordinator. I don't know. I haven't heard any of this. I'm just kind of spitballing here. All right, we will get into more of your questions, your comments, all that and more coming up here on your Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. More to come in segment three. That's next. We got a final segment left here on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. It is your team every single day, and your team is the University of Tennessee. Okay, so we've got, let's go to Orange Crab. As hard as Big Joe throws, wouldn't it be better off just throwing directly to the receivers' heads on long throws instead of leading them? I'll be first and foremost, I am not a quarterback. I should never give advice on how to throw a football, okay? So let's get that out of the way. No, on long throws, you want touch, okay? You do not want to throw a bullet at a receiver's, you know, aiming at the receiver's head, in my opinion, because number one, the ball would dip and it'll probably skip by the time it got there. I understand you're saying because he has a lot of velocity on there. You want to give receivers time to adjust to the football, okay? So you want to get it up there, have a little air time, little touch to it, you know, and allow the receiver to position himself, box out, catch it on this side of the shoulder, you know, or adjust to it. Say he throws it at the receiver's head with a lot of velo on there, but say he throws it behind. That does give the receiver a lot of time to make adjustments in order to make the catch. But again, not a quarterback, not a QB's coach, never have been, and never will be. And you, as Tennessee fans, should be thankful for that. All right, let's continue to work. Let's go to Brits. What are the chances that Jalin Hyatt stays, or does he make a business decision and declare? Yeah, this one will come down to it. You know, this is one we're going to have to watch. Cedric Tillman will go to the NFL. You know, I feel fairly certain in saying that. Darnell Wright is a guy to watch. I would have said that he was gone no matter what, but I think there is a chance he could potentially come back. It's all about those type of guys seeing where their projections are, okay? If Darnell Wright is graded as a early day two, he's probably gone. If he's graded as mid-round guy, you know, sometime day two, day three, he might come back. You know, Darnell Wright is a young guy. I know you asked about Jalin Hyatt, but Darnell Wright is a young guy. He'll be 23 years old, starting on the offensive line for 5 years at Tennessee, potentially. I mean, you know, that's something to consider here. So he's got that COVID year. But for Jalin Hyatt, I just think it's about projecting where he might land, not land, but where he might go. I mean, if the money's too good, you got to go, because you never know what could happen, right? Could you come back and get injured? Could you come back and ruin your chances of being drafted months later? All that type of stuff. You just never know. So we'll watch about Hyatt. It's all about where the you know, where his feedback, where he gets that, and that'll be something he has to decide on. But it'd be great if he were to come back, no doubt about it. That'd be really, really good if he were to come back. All right, last one. I'm looking at I got to switch over to the Locked On Vols DMs. Let's go to, well, I lost one, guys. Bear with me here. Yeah, one more in the bookmark section. Let's go to John. How soon can we see commitments from the transfer market? If they commit soon, would it be possible for future players to enroll as early as January? You'd have to think the wheels would already be in motion for some players. You cannot engage in conversations with players before they enter the transfer portal. That is called tampering, and that is a big no-no. If you are a graduate student, you can already go ahead and put your name in the transfer portal. You've seen a couple of those guys already do that from around the country. For all undergraduates, December the 5th is the first window, and that's open until, I believe, the 17th. I'll have to go back and look on that. There are certain windows that you can enter your name in the transfer portal. Excuse me. Now, that does not mean that you have to find your destination in that window. You can enter on December the 5th and, you know, come out and say, hey, I'm attending the University of Tulane or whatever on February 3rd. I mean, that, you know, you can do that. You just have to have your name submitted in that window at that time. Yeah, it's absolutely possible to get guys. And keep in mind this, too. You enter your name in the portal. Tennessee starts the spring semester later than other schools. Tennessee has a midterm, an early January semester, a three-week term they get through. And Tennessee doesn't start the second semester until about the second or the last week of January. So, you know, if you remember last year with Jared Verse and Isaiah Nair and all that conversation about visiting and will they enroll in school here and there? I mean, Tennessee kind of gives itself some time there. So, you know, we'll see exactly what happens, but you can absolutely enter the transfer portal, commit to Tennessee and show up for school. And you are locked in, ready to roll for January. Gerald Mincy did that last year, if you remember. So yeah. But those are kind of the dates that we'll see. Graduate students can go ahead and enter the name in the portal. Undergraduate students on December the 5th, it is going to get wild. So get freaking ready. There's going to be a ton of guys entering the transfer portal. Okay. Got a couple more here, then we will call it quits. Let's go to Volunteered 77. Who do you see sitting out of the bowl game, and how do you think it'll affect the game for us? Do you see us getting a shot at Clemson with Dabo's statements about Tennessee last week? That's the one. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? Selfishly, keep in mind, I'm a selfish guy, right? I only think about myself. I have already been to New Orleans this year. I went to Bourbon Street. I checked it out. It was awesome. I wouldn't mind going back. Don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind going back. That'd be fun. But I've already been. So if I know fans want Sugar Bowl because that is a, you know, quote unquote, that is the bowl game. You know, for the long history of college football, you know, if you're not in the national championship, the SEC champion goes to, you know, the Sugar Bowl. And even before the BCS national championship, I get it. But it's a New Year's Six bowl game. So it'd be cool to see Tennessee back in the Sugar Bowl. That'd be neat. I'd be fine with that. But I'm rooting for the Orange Bowl, and I'm rooting for Clemson because of after Dabo Swinney's comments a week ago, and then after he had a big offer losing to South Carolina himself, you know, looking past the game to the college football playoffs, and, you know, he'll be flipping burgers and drinking beer as well this weekend. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I've never been to Miami. I'm continuing to travel all over this place covering football, and that's fun for me. I want to go to Miami. I want to check it out. South Beach, hit me up. All those nightclubs. Just kidding. That's not my life anymore. But that's something I want to check out. So that's kind of what I'm rooting for. But Tennessee is still in play for the Sugar Bowl. We'll have to see you again tonight with the college football playoff rankings coming out. The second part of your question, who would sit out of the bowl games? Yeah, we'll just have to see. You know, if Jalin Hyatt or Darnell Wright decide they're going to go to the NFL, they could very easily still play in the bowl game. But those guys might sit out the bowl game like Alante Taylor did a season ago. And get ready for the NFL draft. It worked out for Alante Taylor. He was nursing a little bit of a banged up injury, and he was picked in the second round. Cedric Tillman, we'll see. I expect Cedric Tillman to go to the NFL and not to return to Tennessee. Again, he was a senior this year. He technically has 1 year of eligibility left, but I don't see that happening. Cedric Tillman's been banged up all year long. I would be absolutely shocked if Cedric Tillman played in a bowl game. He hadn't said anything. I'm not reporting anything. I would be shocked if Cedric Tillman was playing in a bowl game this year. So we'll see about that. Last question, or really it's a comment, and it goes to our guy, Bruce on the Loose. This is after the game on Saturday. That is how you finish. 4 exclamation points. First, thank you for your social media over Thanksgiving. Yeah, man, no problem. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Bruce, hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well, my man. Appreciate you every single week chatting with me. I just wish the team had played Vandy. I wish the team that had showed up for Vandy showed up against South Carolina. Super proud of these kids. Way to finish. I'm so hopeful. I'm so glad and hopeful that they played hard this game, and I hope that they play hard in the bowl game. Absolutely, man. That is how you finish. That is how you respond. That is how you close out the regular season. 10-2, first 10-win regular season since 2003, and after getting just not your best effort against South Carolina. That was a great way to respond. So, Bruce, you are exactly correct there. All right, guys, appreciate it. As always, for your Twitter Tuesday questions, your thoughts, your comments, your concerns, every single Tuesday, it's when you take over the show right here on Locked On Vols. It is your first listen each and every day. Can't thank you enough for that. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today. Biggest takes of the day, biggest stories of the day, game recaps, all that and more. That's Locked On Sports Today. Make that your second listen right behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Hey, coming up tomorrow, we'll take a look at the Pro Football Focus rankings. We'll talk with Josh Ward. Got some fun content to discuss as the week goes on as we now enter this first phase of the offseason. That's coming up next, the rest of the week, right here on Locked On Vols.